Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the craziest to happen in running this week. This week's stories include selling marathon race medals, a budding ultra womance, and Jim Walmsley's Segments of My Life. Things are heating up on Twitter this week. Is springtime love in the air? The Mako Show made a follow-up move on Amelia Boone after she posted this tweet about the high housing price squeeze in the Bay Area. Mako made his move hoping to upgrade from his hashtag basement life housing situation, even going as far as pre-naming their hypothetical twins Squaw and Auburn. Awkward. Man, talk about sucking up to the Western States gods. We have to congratulate Boone on her return to racing this weekend at the Rodeo Beach Rumble Half Marathon Trail Run after a year of plaguing injuries. Guess her pre-race fuel. You know it, Pop-Tarts. Race hardware is back in the news this week, extending from both the Boston and London marathons. We start with a story from Boston, where one man was forced to apologize after he took a second marathon finisher's medal from the race last month. He placed the first around the neck of his son and was offered a second from a volunteer who didn't realize he'd already gotten one. He didn't immediately turn down the bonus hardware and figured he would give the extra to his wife, who sacrificed so he could train for the big day. Well, word got out and he later gave the medal back, issuing an apology. Now crossing the pond, sounds like many who ran the London Marathon are pulling a Jared Hazen, offering their coveted finisher's medals to the highest bidder on auction sites like eBay, within hours of the finish line. Shockingly, these things are gaining bids and sales. Nothing like buying an achievement. We have an update this week from Ricky Gates, who just crossed the 1,500-mile mark of his transcontinental journey. He's already steaming his way through Kansas on his way towards the Rockies. Word has it he's bound for a stopover in his hometown of Aspen, Colorado, before making his way to San Francisco for the completion of his journey run. Ricky, we've got to say you've found an intriguing way to cover up those black toenails. Tulsa took good care of you. Another update on a runner near and dear to our hearts. Dave Mackey was seen jogging this week on his new prosthetic leg. Now correct us if we're wrong, but we believe this is the first time Dave has posted about him actually running with his new leg. Hopefully it won't be long before he's crushing the trails again. I think we said that before. We hope Jim Walmsley isn't being distracted from his goal to run a sub-14-hour Western States this summer by some silly Strava segments. Walmsley tweeted this week he's calling for the hardest, best, and biggest Strava segments in the land that he'll be targeting soon. Look for Walmsley's new mini-series, Segments of My Life, which will debut ASAP. Sir Walmsalot will be slaying segments all summer long. Ultimate Directions FKT grant program didn't set a fastest known time for announcing the four winners of a $1,000 prize and gear pack. They said they would announce the winners April 24th, but just now released the winners on May 1st. Something to do with hundreds of solid applicants. So let's get into it. First off is Jurek. No, not Scott, but Samuel. He'll be taking on the Hut to Hut in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, which links up some of the harshest and most badass terrain in the Beast Coast. I once ran a 50K out there with over 17,000 feet of climb, finishing in just under 20 hours. Next up is prolific long trail record holder, Heather Anderson. Miss Anderson will be taking on the unsupported Colorado Trail record this fall. She just keeps ticking off these records one after the other. She'll start September 1. Next, we head to Wyoming for the Wind River Traverse. David Anderson, no relation that we know of to Heather, will climb over 40,000 feet, summiting 40 peaks en route. Wicked. Mr. Anderson will simultaneously be attempting his record September 1 as well. Finally, we have Andy Golick, who will go after the California version of Nolan's 14, dubbed Norman's 13. Curious where they got the name. Anyone care to shed some light on it? Also, will this be the first of its kind, and will anyone beat him to it? I'm currently seeking donations for my Nancy Boy 12 FKT attempt, which will take place somewhere in Arizona sometime in the future, with peaks over 1,000 feet high. One FKT grant applicant who didn't win, but is kicking off this week, is Annie Weiss's attempt of the 1,200-mile Ice Age Trail this week in Wisconsin. She's shooting for the overall record, which is sitting at 22 days. Word has it, Tommy Rivers has been coaching her, so we're thinking she'll probably open up the first day with a sub-220 marathon. Kudos to Buzz Burrell and Ultimate Direction for spearheading this FKT program. There were apparently over 300 applicants. Let us know if any of you set an FKT this year, and we'll be sure to cover it. We have a follow-up to last week's report on the court's testing program through ITRA. It is disturbing that the link to the voluntary athlete information page is still a dead link. ITRA, you're officially on our watch list. Get that fixed. After further review of the program with some details from Sage Cannaday, it appears the testing program is pretty weak, bro. The blood testing program is, according to Sage, not a real drug test. It is mainly a complete blood count used to evaluate your overall health and wellness, but doesn't detect EPO use or other banned substances. Furthermore, testing is only done after some races, and the athletes themselves just go get the test done within 96 hours, without any oversight from a drug control officer or official testing body. This leads us to conclude that the court's program doesn't go far enough to ensure that athletes in its program are transparently clean. It would be pretty easy to fool this weak-ass system. The women are getting in on the bromance, or should I say womance, train this year. Looks like we'll have to add an Ultra Womance of the Year, or UWODY, award to balance things out. In the early lead are the North Face athletes Stephanie Howe-Violet and Claire Gallagher. Stephanie sent out a blushing tweet this last week about her noticeable Claire withdrawals. We don't blame her, as it is a proven fact that the energy in a room vacated by Miss Gallagher diminishes tenfold. What still isn't gender balanced is the pay and sponsorship of women in the ultra and trail elite scene. A new survey posted by Trail Sista, Gina Lucrezi on ironfar.com shows there is a wide gap in gender pay in our sport. Granted, the survey sample size was relatively small, with 34 women and 33 men responding. It did show that women on average did receive less cash sponsorships and fewer dollars compared to men. About 85% of the men surveyed received a yearly salary, while about 55% of the women did. The same percentage of women received a travel stipend, while just over 70% of men did. For more charts and graphs and things on the project, check the article. We now have a Beast Coast correspondent from Jizzle Wizzle. He's got some thoughts on the recent Anton Lover post circulating on social media.
Hey, Outhouse Nation. It's the Jizz checking in from out here on the Beast Coast. Boy, it sure has been hot lately. But who knew, after all these years, that we're now living in the post-Kupichka climate? I never knew a guy could have his own climate, but apparently old Anton did. I wonder what ever happened to the Tweetmeyer climate, or the Trayson climate, or the Ainsley climate, or any of those other climates. I guess now we're living in the post-Kupichka climate, which means we can all get ourselves clean shaven and run with our shirts on, and maybe even have some 12 millimeter drop shoes. Anyway, whatever the heck's going on with that guy writing about the post-Kupichka climate, I got news for you, bud. There's a lot more to running than just one guy. I love Tony like the rest of them, but he's just a guy, and we will keep moving forward. From the Beast Coast, the Jizz.
Where you at, Anton fanboys? Stand up, raise your hand. Switching gears to Chinese marathons, the latest craze taking over our Chinese athletics is not mud runs, obstacle races, or color fests. It's marathons, which have gone absolutely crazy town. Just 6 years ago, there were 22 in all of China. Now, there are over 400. One thing I dig? The pre-race stretching sessions and the fact that some of the runners are pack-a-day smokers. One participant says this year, to give himself an advantage, he quit smoking for 5 days ahead of the race this time, instead of last year, where he abstained for just one. He's still looking forward to a post-race smoke. coming soon, the Smoke Mile. Hashtag deadly serious. One more story in regards to the London Marathon. A man dressed as and crawling like a gorilla finally finished the storied race after 6 days. Holy crap, dude. He reportedly raised over $33,000 for gorillas while crawling on his hands and knees for 10 to 12 hours a day. That's some freaking dedication. Coming soon, the Gorilla Mile. Hashtag that. Seems every weekend another quote, unquote, ultra runner is smashing some marathon personal best. This week, it was Ian Charman with Charman Ultra. With a win in marathon best time of 2:21:34 at the Mount Charleston Marathon outside Las Vegas. This came as a shocker to Charman, whose previous best was a 2:32. The Flat Rock 101K was basically flooded out after heavy rains completely saturated the course. Several water crossings were waist deep and half carried away several runners. A quote from one runner making a ropeless crossing later in the race, about two-thirds of the way across and I was swept under. The bottom was very rocky with jagged sharp edges which wrecked my legs. I finally was able to grab a rock and stop myself. I reached my feet back and braced against a tree and then let go and swung for the tree. The RD decided not to cancel and instead let the race play out, forcing runners to either DNF prior to this final crossing or risk being swept away. We have a new correspondence this week from Hulk Hogan, who is participating in this year's Whiskey Man series in Prescott, Arizona. Following up his finish at an 88K trail run 3 weeks ago, this weekend he finished the Epic Rides Whiskey Off-Road 50-mile mountain bike race, which is basically a bike race with whiskey aid stations. Hulk?
Yeah, brother. It's hard out there, but really impressed. All my brothers and sisters put forward a great effort. Clearly been eating their vitamins, saying their prayers, and I was really honored to be a part of this. And I'm the man who made wrestling famous, so it's a pleasure to partake in a different sport and see what it's made of.
Handholding at ultra finish lines is becoming all the rage these days. First, it was Killian and Jason at last summer's Hard Rock, then Casey and Magda at Lake Sonoma. Now, Brian Powell of IronFar.com at the Thames Path 100. When will it end? Where will it end? How will it end? Looking to buy a new pair of Hokas? How about the Arahi? Want more? Well, you might be able to buy the whole company, according to a press release put out by Deckers, their parent company. The board of directors are reviewing several strategic alternatives that may include a sale of the company. We close out this week's episode with a mention of climber Uli Steck, who tragically was killed this weekend in Nepal while training for his Everest attempt. Thoughts to him and his family. Now, Killian, get the F out of there. I want to see you at Hard Rock. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share, or if you have a key Strava King of the Mountain for Walmsley's Segments of My Life in your area, tweet us at Mountain Outpost. Have a shitty week.